What is going on? It's another week. It's another time. It's the Black NPR. What's going on, everybody? This is your host, Danny Crudup, calling from the New York City East Coast region. It's going to be the first week, believe it or not, the first week since we've been doing the show where the majority of the conversation will not be about rape or sexual assault. So you can give that an applause because they're doing great things here. We've finally gotten out of talking about people being forced to do sexual things. This is weak. So, again, this is Daniel Critters, Black NPR. That's what I'm talking about, Black, because we're there. It's still happening. It is still a problem. It's just we're not talking about it this week. We're going to give everybody a break. Kind of give you some heads up to show. We like to do some new stories. We also do a deep dive into stories. We usually have your dessert at the back. No, not every week. This week, we're going to be doing a new story as normal. And then about 9:30, about we're going to be doing a deep dive into the movie Me, the host, one of the hosts from Love, Peace, and Slander, Mr. Dave Brath, one of the hosts of Views from the Friend Zone, Marvin Mahomes. We're going to be getting into it deep from beginning to end. So if you haven't seen it and you don't want it spoiled, I would say, you know, listen to it after you've seen it. But I would say at this point, you're not going to. This would be a good way to kind of get all the information you want. Okay, you get a Twitter, theblacknpr@twitter.com. Email me if you want to get some questions in or you have any ideas for topics at theblacknpr@outlook.com. Let's get to it. Again, this is pregame radio. You know where it's at. Let's jump right into it. Okay, one of the top news stories today that happened yesterday is the ambassador to the UN, Nikki Haley, is going to be retiring, or does not retire, but quitting by the end of the year. Pretty much, they're saying that she's doing it because of the midterms are coming up and she doesn't want to get kind of looped with the people who are going to be getting kind of screwed up on the back end. Oh, we got a call already. Okay. Let me see. Boom, 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 boom. Okay. 3065, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Danny? It's Maul from Youth in the Friend Zone.
Oh, what's going on, buddy? You want to be on for the news part two? Because 9:30 is when we're going to be doing the Venom Talks. I don't know if you want to be in for the news or if you want to call back for the I'll be on hold until we do the Venom Talk.
I'll be on hold to the Venom Talk.
Okay. All right. That's tomorrow. All
right.
We'll speak to you at 9:30, man.
Okay.
Hold on.
Okay. Thanks. All right. Bye.
Bye. Okay. Very good. Let's get back to it. Nikki Haley is, I don't know if you guys know, she's that sharp-nosed woman. She looks very white, but she's not. Apparently, she's an Indian-American woman. She's the second Indian to be named governor of a state after Weasley Bobby Jindal. Her probably goal is to probably run in 2020 and doesn't want to be attached to it. I also think that a big part of her wanting to leave is attached to the fact that when he went to the UN, they was cracking wise in his face, and it makes her look bad that she's associated with that shit. So in her opinion, it's probably up to leave. The person that they have kind of tapped, or one of the people that they have tapped, is a woman by the name of, yeah right? Marv sounded like he wanted all the action. Dina Powell, another one of these white women. If you look on her face, she looks like just a regular woman, but no, she's Egyptian. So apparently, in terms of their cabinet, in terms of what they're trying to do, their goal is to get all of the white-looking Middle Eastern women to get in this particular position, even though the position is for a position or place that he really cares very little about. I don't know if you're familiar with it, and I guess it's my job to kind of make you familiar with it. Trump's job, this is thought process on things at the UN, things like the rest of the world, because the rest of the world really doesn't fuck with him like that. So he doesn't fuck with the rest of the world. So a lot of his thought process is screw all of the UN, screw all those places, screw other countries, not realizing that we need to kind of work with those other countries and do practically every fucking thing. From this is not a full story, but it's a minor story that one of the senators, one of the Democratic senator in North Dakota, a place that none of us will ever go to, unless you have, and I'd like to hear about it. From their whole big issue is that that's where a lot of the food comes from, and they ship that out to China. And because Trump's causing shit with China, he's fucking up those white people's money, and they get angry with it, but not angry enough to not vote for the dude, which makes no sense to me. So we're going to see how that plays out. We're going to watch that. I feel like that's the part of the news we don't really hear about. I think we hear a lot about the big, crazy shit, but I feel like those little stories are the ones that we need to be invested in. So if there's any questions, again, go to my email. I'm just doing some short hit. the Black NPR at Outlook.com. All right, the next story we're doing is in another Trump-ish type story. West Virginia, apparently now the poverty has gotten worse under the Trump economy. So I don't know if you guys are familiar. Trump's whole setup is that the economy has been great. Everything's working wonderfully. He's nailing it to the wall. He's really crushing it. For the most part, at least when it comes to some of the structures, like the Dow, it's true. It works. But I think for the majority of the places in those impoverished stations, it ain't working out. And apparently, this is a new story. Let me give credit because I feel like I'm not giving enough credit to these places I'm getting this information from. This was at CBS.com or CBSNews.com. And as West Virginia has a growing property problem, they also are one of the main places for heroin. There was a story that I think Vicky Blessings was passing around today on Facebook in regards to the humans of New York, where there was a guy, African lady and African woman, and they were in West Virginia getting their graduates there, and they felt like, should they raise their kid in America or raise their kid back in Ghana? And I think they chose to go to Ghana because they felt like the racial tent environment here was not the right one. I have a lot of kind of a different opinion on that, but I mean, this is not the kind of place for that. It's really just informative. But that's why we did it. West Virginia is really not the kind of place you want to be middle class. There's really nothing for you to do there. And according to the U.S. Census data, the poverty rate climbed to 19.1 from 17.9 the year prior, making it one of only four states with a poverty rate over 18%. There's really nothing he can do because West Virginia's bread comes from a thing that no one uses really anymore, which is coal. And these dudes have practically dedicated their entire generations to doing it. So I really don't know what they're going to do. I hope for the best, you know what I mean? Like, because I care one way or the other. But I just feel like on some level, things can't only work on the right side or the left side. Things have to work on a central level. So hopefully something kind of pops off from that in the future. I don't think Trump's the one to do it. He's just beating these dum-dums in the head. And if anyone's like, screw West Virginia, there's black people in West Virginia. If you remember correctly, that's where Randy Moss came from. And Randy Moss was one of the best wide receivers, not the best wide receiver in the NFL. So, you know, take that what you take it with. In pop culture news, I don't know if you guys remember back in the day, there was a Twitter story about this lady named Lola, black lady, and she put on Twitter her and her white friend went to Florida to make bread. And her pimp, the other white girl's pimp came and beat. There was kidnapping, a whole kit and caboodle, and it was hilarious because someone was in a trunk. I completely forget exactly what the situation was there, but I remember at the time there was pizza, there was guns, there was another guy. Well, apparently that story, as we remember back then, they said that they were going to be turning that into a movie. Well, the movie got its director. And the director that's going to be doing it is a woman by the name of Jantika Bravo, someone who I actually know, believe it or not, since it's almost low-key a plug here. They're going to be doing a movie supposed to be coming out either 2019 or 2020. They're giving that girl, Lola, they're giving her a writing credit, so she's making a come-up. Here, we can give you a little bit of a movie making viral, Zola Stripper, Tweet Storm is starring director. You got to direct them. I put that into our group poster. So I don't think I brought up the group yet, and that's my fault. There's a group called DDG, not really connected to this. I don't want to create another one. It's fine. It's a lot of dumb memes or what have you, but we have a thread there. So if you guys want to communicate that way, that's fine. We also on the website have a chat room as well. So if you want to, I'm going to put all the photos and things that I've been, our websites and links that I've been talking about tonight, I will put in that page. And I will go over to the chat room and put it there as well. But yes, we got a new star. The woman who's going to be playing Zola is Taylor Page, who I've never seen before, but she's a pretty lady. I mean, she's probably a great actress. I got to see what she's in. Can't talk about it. But it's about this guy named Z, an invitation to dance in Tampa, lucrative clubs. He turns out to be a pimp, tries to turn both women out. The plan goes bad because the black dude shows up. This dread dude. I think they also got storytelling credits from Ava DuVernay. I think Missy Elliott's supposed to be helping out with some of the money. I don't know exactly what's going on, but should be pretty lit. Okay, but get to one else. We've got another 20 minutes, and I realize that the conversation I want to have now is going to take a little bit longer than the 10 minutes that I was going to give her credit. So we're going to talk about the Vic Mensa thing and how he kind of shaded extension in a freestyle or a flow. And we're going to bring our number one hip hop. Is going to let her know what's going on. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with Vic Mensa. While we wait for that. Vic Mensa is a rapper. He's one of those people in the first show talking about rappers that older heads need to get hip to. Also, if you call in, push one. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that. I'll let you get to say that. When you call in, if you want to talk, push one. You can get right through. So Vic Mensa is one of those rappers, one of those dudes who I feel embody some of the energy from back in the day. I like his stuff with Kate Trinanda. I like a lot of his mixtapes. Well, apparently he did the award show was, but he did a freestyle or a cypher, and he called out Extension. Extension is the rapper who died from getting clipped in a car, and he's gone. And his mom was in the audience, and his mom has become a divisive figure on the social media in terms of just being a mom, but she's out here living her best life for some or living a really thottish life for others, depending on who you call for. I think the woman looks great, to be honest with you. I think, what are you going to do? If you remember Extension, which a lot of you older heads don't remember, he was a dude when they were taking the freshman photo for XXL. He's the one who decided to take it with his head down. The kid was obviously going through something. If he didn't get shot, he would probably end up trying to kill himself. So I'm not shocked that his mom was trash in some way or the other. What you're going to do, be better? Just don't have kids with us. That's what you want to do. But shaming this lady for something she's been doing for years and years and years ain't going to get you no job. You ain't going to get the job done. All right, hold on. So, yes, what we're going to do right now is we're going to put the links pregameradio.net. We're going to make sure that everyone who doesn't know to go in there. Pregame Radio. Give me a second. I want to make sure that everyone has it. Pregameradio.net. I don't know why every week it's the same damn email. Every week, pregameradio.net. Anyway, while we're waiting for that call in, some other things. I'm going to read the ad copy because I feel like on some level I never get to that right away. And I kind of wanted, we're going to have one of the creators of Lit on to talk about Venom in a bit. So that should be, he could talk a little bit more about what he does. So we're going to get into it. M.E. Productions for all your video production and photography needs. Hit him up on Facebook at M.E. Productions or email at heyme@tv@gmail.com. Thanks to our sponsors over at LitBK. The website is litbkny.com. Put in the customer code PREGAMEISLIT for 20% off your purchase. And don't forget iCraveWear. Correct them, that's the cool shirt. So if you like a West Indian, if you're Bajan, you're Jamaican, and you want to be able to put it on, that's the way to go about it. And don't forget iCraveWear. Check them out at Instagram at iCraveWear. And their website at www.icraveware.com. Put in the promo code PREGAME for 15% off your purchase. Again, we're going to be having Dave Braff. It's going to be one of the creators of Lit and Me Productions who will be on so you can talk a little bit more when he's doing his plugs. So, yeah, so what we're going to do now is we're going to get into that hopefully in a bit because I feel on some level – I want to make sure that we have enough time to talk about that before we get into Venom. Anyway, let's think about something else. I want to talk a little bit more about the Kavanaugh thing. I guess I promised and I kind of lied about it. But he's been confirmed. He's in there. There's really nothing we can do about it now. He's sitting on the bench, and then today was his first day as a justice. There was no real crazy shit. I don't expect it to be crazy shit. That's the thing with these guys is, like Clarence Thomas was a scumbag, but you don't really hear from him. I think we'll actually not have a Kavanaugh sighting until like the first real challenge towards abortion or the first real challenge towards gay rights. And I think that's when his face will show back up. I think in terms of him not being allowed to, like if it comes out that he actually did what he said he did, I don't think that they're going to throw him out, because to get him out, you're going to require a lot of people doing a lot of things. And I don't see any of the people doing any of the things, as we seen this in a situation where we had him dead to goddamn right and nothing happened. So yeah, he's there now. He'll be there until he's dead or until he's so old that they have to, like, wheel him out. Even then, if he decides, I don't know if you guys know, if you're a justice and you're kind of fucked up in the head, they'll let you cook. Like, they won't, like, get you out of there. Like, there's no situation to which they'll get you out the paint. Even if you're, like, mentally kind of messed up. Like, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who's one of the liberal ones, she sometimes looks like she's kind of doddering on the edge. And I feel like, as a left person, not even a left person, but somebody who likes the idea of people being in a situation, she's not going anywhere. Like, they literally would have to say, I'm not doing this anymore, and make a decision to leave. So that's why I think, oh, there we go. All right, so that's that. We're going to get into the conversation. 9171, you're on the air.
Hey.
Sam, it's the same link every week.
No, you need to do better. Like, I need an email sent to me personally.
All right. Let's get into it. So we've got some time to do this. Vic Mensa, what's your opinion on that? What's your thoughts, dreams, aspirations?
Yes. Okay, so let me just give you my background on Vic Mensa, aside from the fact that I do think he's an aesthetically pleasing young gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
I came to Vic Mensa in two ways. First, I found out about him because Jay-Z was kind of like giving him a super hard cosign with his, because he's a Rock Nation artist. So around the, they were giving him like a big push. He opened up the 444 concert. He was with him when he was doing these live shows to kind of showcase his most recent album. But where I caught him was on Viceland. I don't know if you remember that they had like a Viceland version of Iyanla Fix My Life with another aerobic black man who does like a therapy session with these people. And I got to listen to him talk about what it was like to grow up. He's passed. His father's from Ghana, and his mother's white. He's from Chicago. And, like, what that was like for him. And I was like, this is a really thoughtful, like, young man. Like, he was able to string full sentences together, have an interesting conversation with that strange man. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Like, in terms,
know,
like, you talking about me? Because they had like a whole bunch of shows that they would do in a one.
It's like
setup.
The Counselor, and it was Joe Budden was on it. Freddie Gibbs was on it.
Similar to the one
it?
That was on. On Tax Stone, was that same lady, or was it a similar concept?
No. This guy is like he's definitely a therapist, but he's also got like a aerobic. Kind of like metaphysical energy about him.
Oh, okay, yeah, then I would not remember that.
Yeah, he's a black man with like really chocolatey brown skin, and I'm trying to get the name of it. The Therapist. How could I fuck that up? So it's called The Therapist, and he would get these different rappers. His name is Dr. Siri Sat Nam Singh, but I feel like his name might really be like Wendell Jones. And he might be from Detroit, but I could have made that up.
It could be any or.
It could be either or, but he's a solid dude. And the hour-long conversation was pretty solid. And I was like, this person, I'm not an idiot, but I need to go back and listen to his music more. And I enjoy his music, but I like his outspoken nature because within his class, because I think he was on Double XL 2014 freshman class. I think that's when he got his like
the Vic
freshman.
The Vic Mensa one, right?
Yeah, Vic Mensa is a XXL freshman class of 2014. And he's just a little more, I don't want to say woke, because I know he's got this problematic shit, because he's 25.
He's
and
not woke, he's just somebody who has a general understanding. Seems to have a better understanding of himself than most at that age.
Yeah, and it could come from the kind of parenting he had. Education was super important.
Which is huge. We say that a lot, I think, and I don't think we say it enough publicly, but having parents matter and having parents who do the job matter. Just making sure you eat and making sure you have a place to sleep is not enough, and I feel like people who do the job of debate, you know, supporting and creating and allowing you to be you is very important, and it shows. Continue.
Right. So the reason why everyone's – yes, Chance the Rapper was also on the cover of that year. Rich Homie Quan, Kevin Gates. He went to school with Chance the Rapper. Because both of them, neither of them, and I don't know what it is about Chicago with, like, the rappers from Chicago that pop, that get super popular, but they're, like, they weren't broke. Like, Vic Mensa wasn't broke. But I think your access point to whether you're broke or whether you're well-off is so close, kind of like growing up in Parks of Queens, where, like, you can have a dad who's a professor and a mom who's a white American lady. But then, like, three blocks over, they're just clapping niggas for no reason. So he has an awareness, but he also has an energy about him that's kind of Theo Huxtable-ish. And that's not in a pejorative way. I don't
But, I mean, if you really think about the Huxtable, if you think about it, really think about it, they grew up blocks away from Fort Greene.
Right, right, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, the true story of the Huxtables have been a different one, if you want to tell that honestly. They one or not both one if not all of them one of those girls would have ended up with some dude.
Yeah, I mean
one
they
of probably Denise. Denise was not going to go away. Denise would have not come back with a military captain. Denise would have came back with Quan.
Yeah, but she was trying to. I mean, this is a total sidebar, but she Dwayne Wade was what she should have come home with, but she was on some bullshit.
But I'm saying, like, if she was out acting up, if she was the one who was acting up, then there was a place for her to act up right up the block, is what I'm saying.
Mm, yeah.
Like, it wasn't far away, I'm saying. Like, she was literally a couple of blocks away from where she could act up and find what she was looking for in the early 80s, late 80s, early 90s. She could have found it.
Right.
So go ahead. Go on. So he's
right,
asked.
So
what,
he made this.
Yeah.
So it's him, Chance the Rapper, Ty Dolla $ign. August Alsina, Troy Ave, Kevin Gates. So just to give you a sense of, like, who his contemporaries are. So he's, what, almost 10 years older than what XXXTentacion would be, right? He was,
Vic Mensa's been around. But
he's
26. Vic Mensa's been around a little bit. But it feels like he's been around a generation longer. I feel like he was, like, on that last.
Well,
way
he's freshman class of 2014, so he's only been acknowledged for, you know, like 2014. So that's only
also
4 years
that the
ago.
Generations are much shorter than they used to be, too, which is a different conversation.
Right. Well, they operate. But all he said was, so he did the Cypher. So you know the Cypher's on BET Hip Hop Awards. That's what he participated in. So the Cypher has not been released or leaked as of yet, but he did a Cypher where in the Cypher, which was recorded previous to the event, he made a remark about people who beat women. And did you watch the video?
No.
Okay,
yet.
So the video that, so it got a lot of backlash because the mom was there. So basically he went online and did a very quick video that basically said, like, I participated in a Cypher. I made reference to people who beat women in a way, and reference XXXTentacion. Apparently, his mother was in the room when it was filmed. My intention was never to disrespect her. You know, I'm sorry for her loss. But, however, I do not give a fuck. I don't fuck with niggas who beat women. Like, I don't fuck
That's
with people who beat
women. That's a whole
women.
Conversation we had.
Yeah.
It literally can't be done in the next 6 minutes. But, yes, agreed.
Yes. So that's what he did. And that's when some people are calling him a sucker. I don't know if you know the rapper Lil Sean, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Lil Sean has this whole web series where he talks about, like, old shit, but he also weighs in on stuff from now, and he did this really long Instagram post about how he knows that that's Jay-Z's little homie, but Jay-Z needs to, like, pull his coattail because you don't do that. And there's, like, all of these people that are, like, you don't do that. And I'm like, well, what did he do? He didn't go up to the lady at the wake and be like, fuck your son, he beats women. He had a lyric in a cypher. The cypher
that happened
recorded.
Prior to him dying.
Yes. No. It happened after he died.
Okay.
He still was like, no, you died, but you kind of like what you were saying about whether a person dies or not, if they are known to be bitches.
Biggie Smalls. So pretty much my thought, what I said, I want to be clear with what I said. I said Biggie Smalls beat people up, so we shouldn't have been acknowledging Christopher Wallace for anything because
right.
he was beating ladies up. That was my point of
but
reference.
But it's a little bit – because of the world that Tentacion lives in right now, his shit's a lot more documented and it's a lot more specific and it's a little more heinous. And it's not a secondhand story from Jermaine Dupri, confirmed or not confirmed, sort of kind of by Louis.
No,
Kent.
That nigga
it's fucked. Like,
No. I got you. No, what Extension did to that chick was fucking heinous. He like broke
yeah.
her fucking face. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and like raped her with a fork or something. Like it was a little bit more.
Yeah, he really gave her all the smoke he wanted to give his mom.
We can have that conversation at another date.
Yeah, okay, yeah, for sure. But I'm saying, like, the fact that, like, everyone's saying about her mom, just whatever. And I was like, yeah, she's a piece of shit. Of course she's a piece of shit. He was a maniac.
Is she just an attractive woman who had a baby young who's still attractive?
I don't understand. I'm just connecting the dots. You don't get that attractive lady who's kind of in that energy, and this nigga's out here just being the worst. So I'm just assuming that connection. But I don't have any proof on that, so I'll admit that. I don't have a 100% correlation
okay.
to those two things. But just in
okay.
my experience, tends to be when it's a young lady who had a kid early and then you have a legitimate monster as a result who doesn't say a bad word about you, that's genuinely a connection point that I make.
Got it.
I mean, there's no proof. There's no proof there, but I'm just saying that monstrousness doesn't come out of nowhere. People aren't just born that way. Like, that's not
mm-hmm.
how psychopathy works. A sociopathy works, and generally you have to have a root of anger. That's to push you in a direction.
Okay.
But anyway, again, another conversation.
So there are younger people who are pissed. Everyone's pissed, and they're pissed because he's kind of standing in it. He's like standing firm, like, that's what I said, that's what I meant. I'm sorry, Miss Tentacion. My bad. I didn't know you were going to be there. But, like...
But he's not doing the thing that people expect him to do, which is to go, oh, my bad. I should never have said that. Oh, I'm wrong. And
right, and it's like calling him a
bitch-ass
nigga. They're kind of, like, trying to make it seem like he's broken some sort of code where it's... Look.
I didn't hear the cipher, but did he say specifically... that nigga, or did he just bring a point to mention niggas who beat chicks?
No one has heard the cipher yet because, you know, the ciphers don't come out until the show comes out because that really is what people are watching the BET Hip Hop Awards at this point for. No one gives a fuck about the rest of that shit. I don't even watch the BET Hip Hop Awards. I get up the next day and go on YouTube and I watch the ciphers and I go on with my day. I watch them one after the other. You got to watch that whole show in order to get, like, all
to get
four
to the
ciphers. Ciphers.
So, cause
and
know
only
what
two
do,
of them are usually good. Like, some of them are trash.
That's truly a lost art.
Some years, though, they really have good ones. Like, Eminem embarrassed himself, and he embarrassed me because I sat in front of a computer, stared at it, while he screamed at me.
But you know why he embarrassed you, and you know why? Because we know that he's capable of doing great things because we
right.
know he comes from that world. We know. I don't know about the
yeah.
rest of y'all niggas, but we know he was on Bumpito. He was in those spaces. Him and Royce 5'9 and the mother dirty Detroit niggas was out there doing the work. So when they say Eminem Cypher, I'm giving it the hand. I'm assuming it's going to be lit. So anything less than lit is going to break my heart.
Yeah, and it was just a screaming spoken word poem. And
the one where he was in that garage in that,
yeah,
that
that's
office park.
Yeah,
nah,
man,
fam,
like
nah.
What the fuck? You really? I know you fuck with alternative forms of music, but like
fuck
not knowing the setup
of
the cipher.
No, I don't do the ciphers, fam. I don't.
You gotta do it because sometimes good things happen.
That's standing in the cut. I mean, I'm not saying I'm not right here. I just says it feels like a lot of shit to dig through. And I figured, like, if it's decent, let's saw it. I know what you're talking about. And he's just in there with a bunch of black men behind him yelling.
Yeah. So
yelling.
Just to give you an update, too, like, people are coming
Daniel
at
hates
on Twitter.
Poetry.
You do. Except you like old, early 19th century poetry. You can tolerate that kind of stuff.
Because
like James Joyce and
to
stuff
be.
Like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
So James Joyce was a bunch of alcoholics
Jesus
trying to get
Christ.
Laid.
People are going to think we are the biggest fucking nerds ever. It really
you know what?
Matter.
Fuck them. That's why.
You can suck
fuck
my dick
them.
In the back, but that's fine.
Damn right. Damn right. And clean it up with Bounty towel.
I like Viva. It's softer.
You're a rich nigga. All right, hold on. We got to cut this close. What I want to do next week, if
you need
if
to
no one
on Twitter
get...
and just see that he's fighting with people who are supposedly
Good,
other
he needs
industry
to fucking
people,
fight with him.
And
he
he's just going
him.
Back and forth. He's basically
what
saying
I'm thinking,
that.
And we'll discuss it later in a week. But I'm thinking we'll do a full hip hop show, and I want to do Super Nuts from 80s to now, and just like actually get into it, like do a Drink Champs almost.
My God, but I'm not drinking.
I know, no one's gonna drink, not even me.
Oh, okay,
says the lying person who will be drinking. Anyway, let me get these, get this Bayesian on and this Haitian
right,
on to talk about this shitty movie.
Try to explain this weird, scary looking, nasty movie.
It's not scary; it's fucking ridiculous. But anyway, let's get on. Good on that. Love you, Dirt. Talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Bye. Okay, Brad, Marvin. Hit that one. Let's get into it. David, what's going on?
Yeah. What's good, man?
Marvin, what's going on?
What's going on, y'all?
Oh, this guy's over here trying to take all your ladies, trying to take all your women. Your women. All right, so we are talking about Venom tonight. We're talking it from beginning to end. We're going to try to do beat by beat. It might not be the easiest fucking thing to do because some of us have seen it earlier than others. Some of it seen it sooner. But let's start off early because it's other podcasts that I like where they talk about bad movies, but this is 100% one of. Would you suggest someone see it? Let's get that off the cuff. Would you suggest somebody seeing this movie?
Let me just say, because I said this on my page. Early on, I said this movie is going to be trash.
Yes.
My entire intention was to skip it.
Yep, I forced you into doing it. Lit.
And I would absolutely recommend people go see this movie.
Okay, for the reason, all right. Does anyone in this particular group seen The Room?
Oh, I've seen part
not
of it.
Not Room with
not the good room.
Captain Marvel. The bad
right,
room.
Not the good room. The bad room.
Has anybody seen that?
I've seen parts.
Have you seen have any of you guys seen Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Absolutely.
Okay, it'd be a stretch to say that this is the first superhero Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, wow. I don't know. That's a stretch.
Go on, Marvin.
So, you know, I didn't mean to interrupt, but this is my thing, right? So I think what was the expectations you had for Venom?
To not be stupid. He was
because
can we
it
not have something that's fucking stupid? It was stupid.
It definitely fails on that front.
Right? They saw
stupid. No, it was not. Deadpool was not stupid.
They saw the success of Deadpool in the anti-hero thing, and just like you know what, there's a space for Venom to kind of have that.
But Deadpool wasn't an anti-hero though. Deadpool was literally Ryan Reynolds being Ryan Reynolds in a Deadpool suit, and we were here for it. But he wasn't an anti-hero. He was in love with a chick, for God's sake. This dude was a shitty reporter who had a chick, who lost his chick, could not stop sniffing, was dumb as a brick. The suit, which we all know is from another planet, his name is fucking Venom? When did a fucking suit have a concept of English to know his name is fucking Venom?
But that was
there were a lot of those moments.
Woody Harrelson is a treasure. He's Hollywood treasure. How much did they pay him to put on that Ronald McDonald wig and to sit there and give that line?
The look was trash.
From
the cartoon, Carnage looks a little off too though. When you watch the cartoon.
See, what do you do? What is the patience? Always trying to build shit into something it's not. It is terrible. This is terrible, terrible, terrible. It's not great. He's a little off. Yes, it was not Woody Harrelson in a McDonald's wig. I know when you close your eyes, you thought to yourself, I wonder what Carnage looks like. I bet you looks like the dude from Cheers with a McDonald's wig on.
No! But if you watch the cartoons and you see Carnage looks off too.
Right, let's get
the guy who gets incorporated. the guy who gets taken over to be Carnage looks awesome.
He was a
well.
Crazy person. You know who would have been a better Carnage? The guy who played Rorschach in Watchmen.
But you
Jim
know
what?
Okay.
Small.
Okay.
That dude is
okay.
Small.
Let's keep it 100. I'm gonna. I recommend the movie. I had fun watching the movie, but everything
go,
that Danny's saying is 100% true. Everything Danny's saying is true.
Me. Watch it. Please watch it and get.
But
I
look,
want it to
look,
be a drug.
No, you bringing up the fact that Carnage is trash. Carnage was 30 seconds of the movie. Extra credit.
No, I'm not
even
going
to
part that up. All right, we'll get there. Let's get there. I'm just saying.
All right.
That's
from,
you know what
from the beginning.
Me?
What I did
Let's
like it,
the beginning.
It didn't waste
but I'm
a lot
saying
of
that
time.
Carnage to me, that was like the cherry on the top of a shit sundae, and it was like, got it. Let's start from the beginning.
Let's start from the beginning.
Yeah. Start off. There's a ship coming in, right? The spaceship coming in, very casual. The Life Foundation. So I thought that was pretty cool. If you guys read the comics, Life Foundation's a thing. It exists. We have Life Foundation. It comes down and crashes in Malaysia because tax credit. And they says one of the guys survived, and they say the guy's name. I'm like, oh, they're looping Venom story with the Man-Wolf story because the Man-Wolf is J. Jonah Jameson's son. Forget his last name, but that was J. Joe Jameson's son that died in the beginning of that movie. Did y'all catch that?
Yeah.
Did not.
Okay.
Full disclosure, I got
the
movie late. I missed
not.
That opening.
Okay, so he dies, and then go like, Jameson's still alive, but he dies. I think that was more an Easter egg than it was like a direct connection. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
you find out, I'm trying to think of another movie. You know what it was, in essence? Do you guys remember, where there's like an alien that comes to Earth, and it takes over bodies, and like travels long distance? Did you guys see Constantine?
Mm-hmm.
Remember Constantine, and that Mexican walked across everywhere and walked to New York?
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's what pretty much what the symbiote does. Very easily jumping from body to body. Even though the movie literally tells us it's not easy for them to jump from body to body because it has to be specific bodies they can jump to.
Right.
Okay, put that in the back of your head. So it crashes. The guy's there. You find out that one of the things got out on purpose because the master plan was to come to the planet Earth. Because the master plan was for them to come and eat everybody, even though they were sitting on a rock. Any thoughts, opinions on that? They were just sitting on a rock waiting for us. And on
that was a weak part of the storyline. They didn't waste a lot of time with backstory. A lot of times these first time superhero movies.
Backstory?
No,
it was no
a lot
backstory.
Of times, let's think about it. Let's talk about Spider-Man and every time they reset Spider-Man and how long they fucking take to restart these backstories.
No,
tonight.
I see what you're saying. No,
long
you don't
time.
Mean backstory. Yeah, I know what you mean. There was no origin.
The origin
part of it.
Right,
they didn't give Venom this huge backstory that was just like, oh, my God, that took up the whole movie.
No,
so
they just
I
gave a dumb one. So I give you that. It didn't take forever. It jumped almost an hour and a half into it, but fair, it wasn't ridiculously long in that regard. But what we did
and what I thought was brilliant is the fact of the way that I know you probably think I'm using the term brilliant too lightly.
I want to hear what's brilliant. I want to hear it.
No, but the relationship between the suit and Eddie Brock. You know
that
what I'm
was
saying?
Good.
Do you mean the buddy comedy it turned into an hour and a half in?
Yes.
But I love that.
Yes.
I thought that was cool.
That's like watching.
I did not know the suit was going to be such a star, but the suit was the star of the movie. More so than Eddie Brock, the person.
Yeah, of course.
The
Eddie
suit
Brock
was the star of the movie.
And that's because Eddie Brock was terrible.
Okay,
Let's work our way to the suit. So he gets to see him, he wakes up in a bed with the Joker's wife, whose name I can't recall right now. She was a great actress at some point, but then she was in this movie, so no longer a great actress. And everything's working. Everything's fine. Everything's solid. He goes, hey, go on to work. He goes to work, and Bubbles on the wire tells him, hey, yo, you got to go do this thing. You got to keep your gig. But they give you the backstory saying that he done fucked up in New York for a reason. We're giving you work. They give you a little montage of him being Joe Everyman, CNN guy. He goes, he's like, I gotta find out. Does he gonna be missing? He's rubbing his hands like he's waiting. That's not the thing. Did it seem like he was on coke?
Yeah, he did seem like he was
a heroin addict
or something.
Yeah, he was sniffing and rubbing his hands. And so he goes and he said, we need you to do like a puff piece, with this guy to kind of like go over it. He's supposed to be like this genius. And they kind of go over into how young he's doing it and how he wants to control life, what have you. Then he jumps into these missing bums and they throw him out and he loses his chick. Are we all on the same page so far with where the movie was
yeah.
at?
Yeah.
Okay. Then he moves from. Yeah.
I told you I came in late in the movie, so.
No.
Oh, see, you missed all this part.
I'm glad I did because I heard it was a lot.
No, but I felt like they didn't waste a lot of time dragging a storyline. It jumped straight into him being Venom. I thought it was
They did not. It was an hour and 20 minutes. It was him being this guy who him like eating like old food. Him talking to homeless people, him talking to his Asian lady watching her get robbed, him trying to go to sleep, then him talking to the lady from the movie where the girl had the abortion, which name I can't recall, and her go like, I need you to come in because I think they're doing crazy shit. Then there was like a bunch of backstory saying that these symbiotes can't be in everybody. It has to be someone that links, it has to be a match. It's pretty much what they said.
To help support that story, you've seen how Riot, who was supposed to be a more trained person, was able to do that. Venom is supposed to be the loser of the crew, so Venom doesn't have that skill.
I want to quote to the people listening to this, quote from the movie, let me put on my reading glasses, on my planet I was kind of a loser. No. That should have never made it to the screen. The person who wrote that should have been fired. They should have scrapped the movie.
Why?
Where in any part of the source material was it? And I'm just saying, whatever, just say the source materials, whatever, you can't use Spider-Man. When did Venom have a concept of what a loser is? When was that a situation? When was that a part of the story, the dynamic? What are you trying to draw here? What story are you trying to tell?
It never was, but I don't think it has to be.
No, but I thought it was beautiful, right? Because think about it.
Oh, my God.
Eddie Brock becomes a hard-on-his-luck, out-of-work reporter who's like, you know, a loser who's trying to find himself kind of thing. And we find out that Venom, according to his kind, is kind of a loser out of his luck. And it was coming to, like,
take over.
I'm gonna give you my quick overall on this, and then we can get into the finer points of it. Go back
okay,
to
we'll
the
do
finer
it that
points
way.
Of it. My overall was that everything you're saying is true. There were inconsistencies,
mm-hmm.
painting
problems. Because remember, one day it'd be like 1 month, and then the next second it'd literally be six months later.
What superhero movie don't have inconsistencies?
Nothing to the point where it's like one moment
if we're comparing everything to Marvel has the game on Smash.
I'm comparing this to DC. Even DC's inconsistencies are not as insane as this.
It was not what you would call a good movie.
My point of view is I had a blast watching it. Yes.
It was fun.
It was so much fun.
It was funny. When he called him a pussy for not jumping off the building, I was dying. Like, it was good. It was.
No, the word is
dead.
But there's a difference between good and fun.
It's bad. It's so bad. You know when you watch someone fall?
It wasn't that
fall.
It was so bad you think it's good. It was a decent movie.
And we don't agree on
everything. You know what was terrible? The Fantastic Four. When Fox redid Fantastic Four,
that's bad.
Fantastic Four was so bad. It wasn't bad enough. It was good, right? It was just bad.
It was terrible.
It was bad and it was funny. It was terrible. Every choice they made no sense. It was almost as if no one had read the book. It seemed that at some level they were just doing something. It was almost like, you know, there's a exercise that people do, screenwriters do, where someone writes 10 pages and someone else writes 10 pages and someone else writes 10 pages and you put it together and that's the movie. The only thing is that whoever wrote the 10 pages can't see the 10 pages came before it. So at the end of it, it's going to be disjointed on purpose, and that's the fun of it. That's what this felt like.
But you know what? This, and I know this is a bad word now in terms of superhero movies because we're in a different era. We're in the post Avengers Infinity War.
Hold on. Sorry about that, Dave. We have somebody on the line, 1179. You want to come in and drop your knowledge real quick for Dave? Hold that thought, Dave.
Okay.
What's up, Trash Pandas? It's E. What's going on?
Okay. Did you see it, Ernie?
I did not see it, but that doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
I see the point that Danny.
You just
hop, skip, and jump and say Venom is a thing when we know that Venom, everything he knows about Earth and what he can do and what his powers are based on is from Spider-Man. So if they left that out and they didn't explain that, even just mention it, Spider-Man.
They redesigned the storyline so that it didn't have to tie to Spider-Man.
No, that doesn't make any sense. Venom is a derivative of Spider-Man.
Venom is also a symbiote. It's a symbiote who took over Spider-Man's body, so it took some of Spider-Man's powers. This symbiote kind of just came already with that kind of ability.
That doesn't make sense, like Danny is saying.
Wait.
That does make sense. It's kind of like bitching over Kavanaugh at this point. We know it's not connected to Spider-Man.
That ship has sailed.
So they got to do something.
But the problem with that is that...
Go ahead, Danny.
This is my opinion. Don't make it a Venom movie the same way you don't make it a RoboCop movie.
Exactly.
Just make it, call it symbiote.
Yeah, they could have called it symbiote.
And then you could also say at the back end of it go, influenced by Venom.
They could have just called it symbiote.
They didn't give him his suit. It's not like Venom's suit looked like Black Spider-Man. It wasn't completely designed like Black Spider-Man.
That's what Venom is. They cannot use the logo if they want to, but they still
use
the white.
They didn't use the logo. They didn't use the what's in the design. Conceptually,
no,
so it looks like Venom, Black Spider-Man.
It looked like, you know when you drink too much Pepto-Bismol and you finally take a poop? And just put some teeth and some white eyes on it, and that's what it fucking looked like. It looked gross.
It looked dope.
Stupid.
So you telling me the fighting scene in the building against all those cops, that wasn't dope?
The action was fun.
Because it was, you know what it was so fun to me, David, Marvin, Ernie? You know what it was so fun to me? That you could barely see what was going on. There were just boots flying around. I was like, so we're doing this bullshit? Okay, Netflix, Daredevil. All right, fair enough. It was just people being flung around, bunch of nonsense.
It was supposed to be what it is. It was fun.
I was just about to say.
There's no way in hell who made this. There's no one in hell who made this movie. Was like, I'm making this as ridiculous and as weirdly paced and as nonsensical because I'm trying to make the room, superhero the room. No, they thought they nailed it.
It was good. I bet you a part two was greenlit.
No, it definitely was.
It wasn't number one this week.
As a matter of fact, as far as October openings go, the number 5, 4, 3, and number 2 all came
in. Hold on.
Does that always
y'all guys
guarantee
talk? I'm looking the numbers up. How much it costs?
Does that always guarantee
a sequel? You look it up. All of those, everything up to Venom came in the $50 million range. Venom came in the $80 million.
Because it's Marvel.
Hold on. Let's find out how much it cost and how much it made. That's a big difference than that. So let's find out.
Right.
There's a lot of CGI. Y'all talk amongst yourselves. I'm looking it up.
But I mean, it's not just new CGI. It's CGI that's already been fleshed out.
Okay, so let's talk about the CGI. A lot of people said that they loved the way that Venom looked. I thought it looked very cartoony. I thought it did not. It looked very computerish. In a post Hulk world and in a post Gollum world, that doesn't fly. That doesn't pass.
How does it not fly? We acknowledging that Venom is a symbiote, which is like a liquid creature. How else are you going to pull off Venom?
They've been doing liquid.
Terminator 2 looked better than Venom, did.
If no, Terminator 2 didn't look. I won't go
Terminator
that far.
Two. It looked better than Terminator 2.
But you don't look at Venom and like when you look at a Hulk, when you look at Thanos, it's like okay, that looks like that's something in
that. Yeah, but those are different. Those are different physical beings. We're talking about a symbiote. A symbiote, like literally, like a liquid moving creature. So the way that they created Venom.
It looks no better than Terminator 2, which was a liquid moving creature. How you don't look better than something that happened
in 1993? It's better than that, man.
You're saying it's a liquid creature. That applies to when it's all crawling around and shit. But when it's actually Venom, it should look like this looks like a computer generated thing.
It should look like a solid thing without this white spider. That's the only thing that you really needed to nail. And you could also just make the argument that he had got bit by a spider at some point. It's a regular spider with spider venom. And then when the venom hit it, it had those
you
things.
You just gotta get the spider in there. You gotta get the spider.
I think you guys gotta
move
past the whole venom and trying it
to
be Spider-Man thing.
It was
standalone.
Listen, I'm
a major problem of this film. It can't stand alone.
Listen, Mark, I'm with you on that. I feel like as a movie, it should be judged as a standalone. I think it can be a good movie as a standalone. It just wasn't.
All right, you know what? All right.
The
I'm doing a broad mold. There was a love story in it that made no sense. There was his chick that did not fuck with him, found the dude she fucked with, and then just was with this nigga again and was kissing him. Why? What did he do to make her want him other than the fact that she showed up to a restaurant that she was at and was acting like a maniac?
That was
going to
be his
learned.
Wife. That was the love of her life.
Yeah,
you
and then
on,
she left
but
him.
But it wasn't a closure.
She left him for a reason.
Because he was a fucked up. He did a fucked up thing on her that got that made
her
lose
her
job.
Says that, the thing is
but she still
that,
cared about him.
I guess,
so
it's not
like
they got together.
Is this one of those classic movie stories where the guy comes in and he teaches the nerd kid to be cool and gets the girl of his dreams dressed up as Venom?
They don't learn anything. That's the point. No one learns a goddamn thing.
They just
there's
skip
no
that whole
lesson.
Point and go to the end
there's
of the
no
movie.
Changing. The only difference is sniffly fucking Eddie Brock becomes sniffly fucking Eddie Brock with guy in his head. It's almost as watching a terrible fucking character get schizophrenia and the ability to stick to walls midway through the movie.
What was
the
accent, too? I was listening.
But you mean this one right here where it sounds like
it
came
yeah,
from
yeah.
a studio
it was weird. Like, what was going on with this?
I'm from New York, and I'm a reporter here.
Oh, boy.
I actually like the character.
Every instance of Eddie Brock we ever see, Eddie Brock is never a good dude.
So let
He's
me
never
get
a
this
good
straight.
Dude. He's never a solid dude. So Tom Hardy wasn't a solid dude. He was kind of a borderline sleazeball.
So it's a standalone when you want it to be, but it needs he was a sleazebag in the book.
Pick
a lane.
What were you expecting from Eddie Brock is what I'm saying.
He could have been shitty. My point is that they wanted him. That's not how they dressed him up. They had a guy who just had bad luck. He was a good dude. He fucked up trying to find these homeless dead people. Like, he was just someone who only cared about himself and being a good dude. He was not a scumbag. He wasn't terrible. So Eddie Brock in the movie, and another one, the old Eddie Brock, he became a good guy in the Lethal Protector storyline that they were kind of
rude
to.
Because
he went from being a shitbag to realizing that, like, you know what, I need to take care of people. But in essence, his wanting to take care of people was in confront to the fact that the suit had picked up Spider-Man with great power, great responsibility shit that he gave to Eddie Brock, meaning they changed over time. No one changed. He just
and
went from being a guy
they
who didn't give a shit
to responsible for the greatest threat,
suit.
Which was the symbiote.
He didn't care about helping people until he did.
Let me just ask you this question, right? So let's do kind of like a rating system, right? So with Venom, right? So obviously, it's not fucking with none of the later stuff that Marvel's done. But
not at all.
Let's compare it to other things. The reboot of Spider-Man, the Amazing Spider-Man series. Was this movie better than the two that they put out?
No, not even close. And I didn't even like those.
The Gwen Stacy storyline.
Better.
With the guy from
better. Don't even have to go any further than that. Better.
You know what was better than this movie?
Yes, easy. Because there was a beginning, middle, and end.
Liz's storyline was trash. Jamie Foxx's Electro was trash.
It wasn't a good story. It wasn't a good story. But listen, it was a story. There was a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Y'all are looking at this at cross purposes. I think that you're looking at the quality of it as a film, and Marv is looking at its entertainment value. Because I was more entertained by this than the Amazing Spider-Man.
But I told you when I hit you up, I said, it's entertaining, but he's entertained because he thinks it's – I'm entertained because I believe it to be one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. I want us to have a DVD meetup. We're going to go to a movie. X3 was trash. The Spider-Man movies weren't fun.
The Spider-Man reboots were trash.
They weren't fun.
Fantastic Four
reboots.
They were trash.
All right, can I put Spider-Man? I was having this discussion the other day. Can I just put this, because it seemed like you, Danny, and you, Ernie, are on this side of this argument, and I just want to put this question out there because I was having a similar discussion. Why is it that comic book heads can accept non-canon writers' runs? Y'all can accept what ifs. Y'all can accept alternate universes and alternate timelines and alternate versions of the same character, but y'all can't accept. Y'all can't accept.
I got the answer for you right now. I can answer for you right now. I already know what Danny's gonna say.
Hey guys, could I just didn't get to hear the last part of what they said because you guys started answering. What was the last part?
The part was, why can't you accept a movie universe that departs from canon in certain details?
Because the part that they always forget is that they have to also be good. So when they're not good,
if it's good, it's bad, regardless.
You are, for example, like the comic book, the cartoon version of it that's coming out on Christmas. That looks amazing. And it has
the universe was dope. That was dope.
By the way, did you stay for the preview at the end?
Yeah, that was dope.
Fire.
That was dope.
Fire.
Even Venom the movie realized that they needed to put a better movie in their movie.
Right.
To answer your question,
that is why we're able to accept those stories, because those stories are good stories.
But I've heard that many times.
You can take the worst of, like, even the Superman, the what if that they used to do back in the day. Those shits are fucking interesting because you would be able to do things with the character you couldn't normally do because it was okay.
Let me bring up something else. Give me one question. Is it, in essence, an alternate multiverse?
It's not 616, something completely different.
Right.
It has nothing to do with what we know. It plays differently. You know, how it was supposed to happen didn't happen. Some things have never occurred. Like Hank Pym should have been one of the Avengers in the beginning. He wasn't. We accept it because it's done well. And it does not treat us like idiots. And it does not treat us like we know what the fuck we're talking about. It gives us a solid, cohesive beginning, middle, and end. Venom didn't give you a beginning, a middle, and end. It just gave you – this is like someone vomited a script out.
According to that description, it's not actually the fact that it departs from canon that's a problem.
That's not my issue.
Then I'm cool with that. Another thing I have to say is,
another thing I have to say is, Spider-Man's villains are trash. He has the most trash villains. If Spider-Man's villains are trash,
that means Spider-Man is trash because they're an extension of him. They're all just like him. They're at different points in their lives.
Spider-Man is always dope compared to his villains.
Spider-Man is Dr. Octavius. You understand? Spider-Man is all these other people that he fights. He's all these people. They are part of him. That's part of their
whole thing. That's another problem. All his villains are trash. To me, using Venom and making Venom work, to me, I was impressed with that. Because all of Spider-Man's villains has been trash. Even in Spider-Man Homecoming, What you call it?
That wasn't trash. Michael Keaton was nasty in that joint.
Michael Keaton's a good actor, but the vulture that they created was trash.
Vulture was lit. Sorry.
He was lit. Remember at the end, he was like, I heard you know who Spider-Man is. He was like, nope. Yo, that shit right there.
That's gangster shit.
I just played a game
that if they filmed would make one of the greatest movies.
Spider-Man
Graham was
amazing.
Yeah. Amazing.
Oh.
And
it's exactly what I told you they should do, Danny. They never pick up on his adult life. And that's exactly what we talk about all the time. And the game is amazing.
At the job.
Right.
Now, Venom I would have been fine with. They could have, like, if I had to rewrite it. Now, let's say, got audience, I write. That's something
I
do. I write scripts. So my movie would literally be him being Eddie Brock. He came from New York for reasons. I would not address, because they kind of addressed that, but I would address a bit more. He would not have a girl. He would have an ex-wife. It would already have been broken up, like in a comic. I thought that was a really good vibe to show that he had this ex-wife. He was from San Francisco, went to New York to get his fortune. He fell through.
Right.
It didn't work. Now, how Venom came, I would have still used the life industry. They would have came through the same way. The only difference is it would not have had a horror vibe in the beginning. It would literally just been like an accident. He
right.
would have went in to kind of – when he went in to kind of beat the guy, he would have then
right. –
got a symbiote, the symbiote would have had an experience prior to him before and said, let's
right.
do a thing. And it would have
right.
been him kind of figuring it out. And then midway
right.
through, rather than have like goons, he would have been like, oh, I got it. There'd have been none of that. I'm a loser. It also would have
right.
only been one symbiote.
Because right.
once you give three symbiotes, that was already 10 years into the run. That's too
right.
many
yeah,
symbiotes.
I thought that was,
right.
yeah, I didn't like that. I didn't like all the symbiotes all over the place.
It gilds the lily having so many. That's what happened in the comics. That's why Venom started to suck. There was too many.
Or they could have just picked up in the future. They could have just picked up 10 years in the future and then had all the symbiotes.
The only reason why a Venom got a green light is because they saw the success of Deadpool. Yeah, y'all comparing it to all these other stuff.
But it wasn't rated R. They would have made it rated R.
It wasn't.
They would have
made it
rated R.
Venom
Sony,
got a
Sony
reboot.
Knew it.
Venom
Sony
got
knew
a,
it was a, it was a
green
money
light
chance.
Spider-Man. That's it.
Yeah, Venom got a green light because they no longer had Spider-Man.
They know him.
And
yes.
they're trying to
this is the problem. They still, Spider-Man Homecoming was a joint venture of theirs. Now, with their agreement with Disney is they wasn't going to use too much of the backstory of Spider-Man because they had their partnership. They didn't completely sell Spider-Man over to them.
No,
but you have to understand everything
can't
is so that's why on Spider-Man.
They're
doing a Morbius movie.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. You're making a story of a world
where
Spider-Man doesn't exist. You're making all of these bad guys. Who's stopping these niggas? Who's stopping them? That's like making a Legion of Doom movie. There's no Justice League. Who's stopping these niggas?
Remember now.
They are working on a Legion of Doom movie, though, that which is going to be dope.
Yeah, but
all
there's a
Marvel
Superman in that world. There's a Batman
all
in that
the
Injustice
stuff was
League,
started
Injustice League.
With Blade. And Blade is from Spider-Man. So, you know, they know how much money is in all of these side characters who are supposed to be trash from Spider-Man.
That, you know what?
Money
Ernie
to be made there.
Say another word. Ernie, stop what you say. Another word. Blade worked. Blade had nothing to do with Spider-Man, which he could have, and nothing with Nightstalker,
yeah.
which he could have.
But let's keep it a buck with the Blade thing. Maybe you guys who are like deep level blurs knew that Blade
was part of the Marvel
universe. But a lot of people, the majority of people, when they were watching Blade in the 90s, had no clue that Blade was part of Marvel.
You cannot do that with Venom.
You could have did it with
Venom. You could have did it with Venom. You could have done it with Blade.
You could have, but
it
would take you could have. I admit you could have. It would take a better writer to do it though.
Absolutely.
It would take a better writer.
The
writer
but
did not
I don't think you're giving it I give it more credit to that because at a certain point in this movie, I was looking at that and I was like, somebody's jerking themselves off. They'd be a real campy with this shit. They'd be a real campy with
it. David, it was very fun. But I felt that just because I know when I'm doing my day and doing my writing, I'm like, okay, this is what so-and-so, this is what he said. I know the moments where the writer was like, nailed it. I know the moments he felt that way. Because I have that way too, and that's why I have to have someone look at my shit to get those things out. So unless I'm trying, like, those moments you're like, All right, now. I got it.
You don't think it's somewhere between the writer and the director? You don't think somewhere between the writer and the director they were like, you know what? Let's just have fun with this shit.
Let's just go.
Much.
That's what I thought. So that's why I don't understand why it was such a bad reaction to Venom because it's supposed to be
in a Marvel movie.
Wait, hold on. Marvin, then Ernie, then me, then David.
Okay. So that's why I don't understand the such harsh reactions to Venom because one, Venom was supposed to be fun. Two, what were the expectations of Venom? There was no expectation for Venom. Nobody was out here checking like, I can't wait till they do a Venom movie. So there was no expectations of it. It was fun. Go ahead.
Yeah. Since we saw the horrible Spider-Man 3, people have wanted to see a real Venom on the screen. You understand? Venom was not supposed to be fun. At best, Venom, in the perfect world, Venom was supposed to be rated R, gory-ass shit.
Real quick, Ernie, then you go back on. But you remember the trailer, and it kind of lended to the fact that he's going to be dealing with cancer? You remember that trailer? But he doesn't have cancer in the movie. They threw that out. David, you can tell me if I'm wrong. I think they did do a grittier movie, and I think that it didn't test well, and they reshot a lot of it. And that's why the back end of it is so comedic.
Learn to agree and never reshoot. Never reshoot. But
feels
the thing
is, because the beginning of the movie starts one way, and it's very tense, and it's very like one way, and then like
now,
it just.
What we're seeing now is the backwash from Marvel. You can have fun. They've learned that, or they've taken cues from other films that having fun was success, and this was not it. I'm still going to see it because you guys said it was fun, but.
It's not a great film. I don't know. We're going to the spot of Boofing and Liquor, and I'm going to put together a sheet so we can do a drinking game, and we're going to take a shot every time he sniffs.
It's got to be early because I'm working.
We're going to do a shot every time we sniff. We're going to take a shot every time there's a time jump. We're going to take a time every time they try to make it a buddy comedy.
You're trying to kill us.
It sounded like Odd Couple and shit. I'm like, what the
trying to kill
it
us?
It is. All right, so I'm talking now. So I felt that they wanted to do a darker movie, which I think in this instance, believe it or not, DC, this would have been a good space to do it.
It would have been a great time to do it.
A darker drama. I thought that's what was going to be more of a drama, more of a thriller. I felt it would have worked in this context. Deadpool was more rated R comedy. This would have been a really cool rated R horror/drama, like what they're doing with New Mutants. That would have worked because then you could take Spider-Man completely out of it and have him be this guy who finds this thing. I would even make the spaceship part so second level to it. It would have been like, I would have made the bad guy a crime boss even, right? I would have made the bad guy in San Francisco. I would have made the bad guy a cartel guy, right?
See, now
it'd
you're
making
like, the mask.
I would have made it a Sicario movie where it would have been like, a really hardcore thing. He moved there from New York, but some shit happened. I would have alluded to the fact that it's connected to the Marvel the universe without ever really kind of saying it's not. And I think that would have been a solid. That's what I expected. They even have cancer and be on the bottom of his luck, and then he finds a suit. And then the one thing the movie did well, I think, was have that conversation. But it would have been more. It wouldn't have been as fun. And I think you could have done not fun with Venom, and it would have worked out. What
Let me
guys,
say something real quick. Let me say something real quick. The movie that they should make is Greatest American Hero.
Where did that come from?
Ernie's drunk.
Okay.
Ernie's
drunk.
Hold on. Go ahead, talk. I'm going to hit black with something real quick. Go ahead.
You were going to get black with something? Really?
No, I got to hit our producer black because I can't just say hello to the nigga.
Anyway, okay, so let me just put this out here. This movie, I don't want to see this movie done seriously. If they were going to do a serious Venom, they have to start from the ground up. If they shot this movie and then added comedy to it later, I think you would have got Justice League. You know, you would have got Justice League.
Oh, that's what it felt like, though.
It didn't feel like that to me. It felt like they were going, we're not going to be dead hard serious and all that. And I thank them for
No,
this
I mean,
the answer to Deadpool. That's, That's the only
no.
movie you can compare.
That's
to.
Where only
it
part
was
I would disagree with Marvin.
Deadpool.
I disagree with a lot of it, but the part I will disagree vehemently, I don't think this has anything to do with Deadpool. This has everything to do with Sony wanting to have, because they wanted to do a Sinister Six movie, which made no sense when they said it. I think
right.
this is them trying to cobble that together, because they can no longer do a Sinister Six movie. They can only make movies with the scraps. So that's why you have Venom they kept, Mobius I think they're doing. What's the other one
yeah.
that they said they want to be doing?
Morbius. I don't know what the other one was. What
the
multiverse?
I
don't
know about Mobius. I just know about
Mobius.
Black
Cat movie. They're doing a Black Cat movie. No, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Black Cat movie.
So, but you know what movie I'm here for that they were supposed to cast Jason Momoa for, and then they cast him as Aquaman? The badass dude on the motorcycle. I can't think of his name.
Oh, Goldfinger?
Oh,
you can never
no,
do
Lobo?
Lobo,
yes.
You could do a standalone movie because Lobo exists.
They were supposed
in a
to
work,
do
Lobo doesn't
Jason
deal with
Momoa.
People like that.
Momoa was supposed to be him, but they wind up using him for Aquaman, so they can't use
which
him
which is
for
a
both.
Dumb idea. I feel like Lobo could be DC's Deadpool if they were
yeah.
smart.
Easily.
Could be
yeah. Easily.
Deadpool.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that would be dope. But I don't understand why y'all not seeing. Why am I the one seeing the connection that Venom was supposed to try to be the Deadpool anthem?
Because it wasn't.
No,
Venom,
it wasn't.
Venom,
I even read that somewhere. That someone from Sony
Venom
said that was
them,
the inspiration.
Venom, is,
like Danny
inspiration
said,
is different.
Like Danny
inspiration
said, that was
different.
Two things that met. That was Ryan Reynolds in Deadpool. It just worked. Those two things come together. Like how, you know, Robert Downey Jr. is fucking, you know, Tony Stark. You know, things came together. That didn't have this element from what I'm hearing from you guys.
I don't know.
Maybe
Venom
a more
was,
dynamic Eddie Brock, maybe.
It also was funny unintentionally, too. A lot of this movie was funny unintentionally. It didn't mean to be funny in places where it was funny.
Like
it was funny, like where? Like majority of it. Every time he didn't know something or was just fumbling around, or when the guy goes, there's a bunch of guys on. We have about 100 of these guys. Wait, hold on, give me a second. We have 100 symbiotes waiting. Why were they waiting? Who were they waiting for?
And another thing, you guys
who were they waiting
the
for?
Guy...
To come and do what? To eat everybody? How were they getting off the planet? What the fuck are you talking about? You also said that these things cannot be in everybody because they'll die immediately, right? But
and
they also said that they go to people to eat people.
Right.
But you guys know McFarlane. The Spawn guy made this movie. So that's why...
Tom McFarlane?
He didn't make the movie. He didn't make the movie.
No.
He did
Spider-Man.
Tom McFarlane
made this movie?
Fuck
he
did not
here.
Make this movie. He did not
he did
direct
spectacular. No, he drew Spectacular Spider-Man 14.
Yeah.
Which I had and I lost. He's trying to do a Spawn movie and it ain't happening because he's trying to make it wow, aggressive, and they keep telling him to tone it down.
That's a classic.
Tone it down, white man. But so I would say we go, we watch, and we put together a drinking game. I feel like this would be best done with a drinking game. Hi.
Oh nah, you gonna kill somebody with that drinking game.
No, I'm gonna put the rules up, and then you guys can tell me what you think. But Marvin likes this unironically. I think me and David like it ironically.
Yeah,
it was
but
fun.
I don't think it's bad as you do. You think it's
no?
Good.
I don't know.
Like,
I think
terrible.
No. I think it's.
Listen, you know,
in a
Todd McFarlane directed this movie.
No, he didn't.
Todd McFarlane directed this movie?
No,
what
he
is he
didn't.
Talking about?
Todd McFarlane helped create this Spawn guy. Look it up. Part of
right,
the
we know he created
movie.
Spawn. We know he created Spawn, but
no, but he part of this production
thing.
Of this Venom. That's
he just drew the
suit.
He just drew the suit. Everybody, Spectacular Spider-Man 14.
Why are you slandering this man, yo?
Venom was directed by a guy named Ruben Fleischer.
The guy's name is Ruben Fleischer. I don't know anything else he's ever directed in his life.
Why are you slandering Todd McFarlane, yo?
All Todd McFarlane's in his bed right now going, someone's talking some wild shit about me right now.
Wild shit about me right now.
Yo,
stay out the shadows, Marv. Spawn is coming for you, son. Watch your mouth.
Yeah. And some Jewish dude named Ruben Fleischer that they found on a lot. Fucking selling hot dogs, going like, "Hey, do you want to go?"
Nah, they got a room full of them. Like, yo, you're up next, Ruben. Be good.
No, you know what? We're gonna wait. Hold on, because my thing is that it didn't feel great for me. I didn't think it was the worst thing ever. I just felt that all of the decisions it made were ridiculous decisions. I felt all of the acting choices made no sense. I found that the action scenes were fine and adequate. I felt that they thought it was going to be way better than it was, and it wasn't. The fact that $215 million people, dollars anyway, not people, spend money on this dumb shit breaks my heart. It really
because
shows
had,
me we
because
deserve...
Because they had Marvel slapped on
no,
it.
No, no,
because
it's been Marvel movies that not made
$215
million. We deserve the planet we got. We deserve all of this. Everybody, all this. Every time you wake up in the morning, and go, "This world is shit." Just realize that $250 million went to the Venom movie,
and again, it shattered the October release record. Shattered.
We deserve Kavanaugh. We deserve Trump. We deserve all of it because we don't
know
how
they,
to treat
but
ourselves.
But you
know
they planned this. Shit. They planned for this to come out in October because it is a kind of horror thing that they wanted to do
for 15 minutes.
People.
It was a horror movie for 15 minutes, and then became a buddy comedy.
Maybe
and then the
suit,
the
suit
literally tells him to get closure with his girlfriend at one point.
Remember
yeah, that?
Yeah,
his girlfriend.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
the suit goes,
"You want to say sorry to her at some point? It might be your
maybe
last."
It should have been. Maybe it should have been a horror movie all the way through.
Man, no, I don't understand why. I don't.
That
know.
Would have been Darren if they did a horror movie all the way
maybe
through.
Maybe my expectations for the movie wasn't as high as you guys. That's why I enjoyed it.
I had no expectations for it.
I wasn't there looking for shit. I went in there looking for trash,
and
I came
that's
out
why
the
David
same.
Had a, that's why David had better. I went there with no expectations.
Speaking of Dave, Dave, let's finish filming.
Oh yeah, that's right. We got to get back to Love, Peace, and Slander, yo.
No, we're almost done. We're almost done. We leave at 10:25, guys. Come on, yo. Come on. Don't cut out 3 minutes ago. It's gonna be me yelling at poor Marvin.
All right.
So, real quick question here: the next movie that's come out is Captain Marvel. What are our opinions on it?
I'm here for it.
Good.
I'm here for it.
I didn't like it when I first heard about it.
Ernie.
Yeah.
Ernie, you there? Let me
Favor,
just check on our guest real quick for me.
He's fine. We had tacos, but he's ready to go.
Okay, cool. Okay. All right. So we got a wrap.
Warmed up. So. All
right.
We
got a wrap.
Do your plugs, guys. Do your plugs.
LovePeaceAndSlander.com. Making the internet fun again. Free Game Radio. Love People on the podcast. Instagram. We're on iTunes now. We're on everything. And coming soon, some bigger things.
Yeah,
all right,
yeah, cool.
David, any plugs?
Oh, yeah, David Braff, LitBKNY. You know that. You know, you hear us on Free Game Radio getting a shout out all the time. LitBKNY. .com. Also, if you want to get at me for production and whatnot, 11203. Productions.com. That's ELEVEN number 203 productions.com. David Brad.
All right, and Marvin, hit us with your plugs.
Yes, Views from the Friend Zone podcast every Sunday at 5 p.m. We go live on Facebook, we're on Instagram. Views from the Friend Zone, we're on iTunes. You check out the podcast. We're also on YouTube as well. Every Sunday, 5 p.m., Views from the Friend Zone.
Two shows I've not been on. Anyway, guys, enjoy your night. Thank
you
for calling in. Thank you for all three. Yeah, you don't want me on your shows, fam. You don't want that smoke.
No.
You don't want that. You don't want that smoke.
Now, we got to set something up for the future. We got to continue arguing.
Y'all don't want none of that smoke. But thank you guys for calling in. I guess the next time I'll put it into the group where we're going to do the drinking contest. I think we should all go and do it, and then I will talk about what happened afterwards, or we're going to put a recorder on and hear what we have to say. But thank you
all
three. You guys have been great. Thank you. All
right. Thanks for having us on, man. Peace.
Later, y'all.
Peace.
What's going on? We're going to be closing out now. So let me give you the math here. You guys have been great. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the feedback. You want to go to our Twitter, which is where I am for the most part. So if you want to, like, engage or talk, what have you, it's at BlackNPRPod at Twitter.com. So if you're a Twitter person, you tweet pretty consistently. That's where I feel like it's the easiest way for me to communicate with you. The BlackNPR at Outlook.com. Or if you are a Facebook person and you want to go to this group, which is less about this show and more about bullshit memes, but just someone who enjoys a laugh because this world is terrible, it's Danny Dogles group, Danny, D-O-G-U-L-S group, or D-D-G, D.D.G. And there's a funny story. There's a group called MMG, and I found it to be hilarious because of the name of it, and I decided to do a thing drunk on 99 berries. So that's what I did. But you want to go there, too. I don't really know if they do any talk in there anymore. So you go there, and I have a running chat there. We also have a chat at pregameradio.net. Check all our shows out. I think we do good work here. My producer, Brooklyn Black, does a good job with my flighty nonsense. I'm constantly saying, we should do this. And he goes like, no, no, we can't do that. It's too late. Bro, this is business. This is a damn radio show. It's not your whims. All right? So I'll give my final thoughts on the movie. That's not yelling. I thought Venom was fine. I thought it was fun. I found that maybe a lot of this comes to, and I will admit, I write. I do screenplays. I write for TV. I write for Comedy Central from time to time. I'm somebody who is seeing those parts of maybe for me, I'm seeing a lot of flaws in places where people wouldn't see them. So I'll admit that. I'll admit that wholeheartedly. But I found that it was fun in that it was not trying to be a masterpiece. And the places where it fucked up in places where very fun. They were fun fuck-ups. So this Saturday, probably early, probably like the first showing, gonna do a show on 14th Street, go to see Venom on the matinee. We're gonna booth and liquor, so whatever you could get in. Boofing by sneaking in, not boofing like in your behind, but like whatever you could sneak in should be pretty rad. I'm trying to think what else we have going on. Next week, I would like to have, we're gonna do our news stories, and instead of a deep dive into a news story, we're gonna have our interview. We're gonna have our first interview. We're gonna have an interview with the writer of a movie in regards to going to Comic-Con was last week. He would have done it this week because it would have been keeping the Comic-Con, but he got married. So we should have Frank Bonacci next week to talk about his movie From the Floor of the Comic-Con, as well as whatever new stories that happened, as well as, I guess, the reoccurring segment, which is Hip Hop Chat with Chantel Branch. And if I can get Frank on, because he may be on a honeymoon, I think we're going to do our Yo MTV Raps episode. We're just going to go from maybe two or three shows and we get right into it and talk about hip hop from the beginning to the end. So my thought process, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, in Twitter, is we're going to do a Ken Burns-esque dive into hip hop. And we start and we keep going until it stops. And then the next time we go, we pick up where we left off. So we'll start off with the cult using people in the 70s. And we'll pick up with the coke and the Xanax shoes of people of now. But I feel on some level we should have a good chat. And if you're a hip-hop person, you should love that. I'm trying to think what else we can get into. So at the end of the day, I feel I'm missing something. I'm missing something very fucking important. Oh, yes, if you guys have news stories, please send them to the email because I feel like I'm doing what's important to me. But figuring you guys are the audience and I'm supposed to be catering to you guys, please send them to the blacknpr@outlook.com. If you have any questions or concerns, send them there too. Twitter is for us to engage, but if you feel like you want to engage even further during the week, let me know. Hit me up. Again, thank you to Brooklyn Black. Thank you to Pregame Radio for the platform. Thank you to Ernest Butler from Lovely Slander for calling in. As not seen a movie and given his opinion for every Trump's America of him. Thank you to Dave Braff from Lit BK for coming in and more or less half believe what I said. And thanks to Marvin Bonhams from Houston or Friend Zone for his opinion, his very wrong opinion of somebody who has seen the movie. I'm going to give a quick read before our theme comes out, the theme for what have you, for our host, because I normally do it twice, and I only did it once this week, which was pretty rad. So, yeah, so if you guys are familiar with sponsors at ME Productions for your video production and photography needs, then we're on Facebook at ME Productions or email at heyme.tv@gmail.com. Thanks for our sponsors over at LitBK. The website is litbkny.com. Put in customer code PREGAMEISLIT for 20% off your purchase. And don't forget iCraveWear. Check them out at Instagram at iCraveWear and their website. So very good. Anywho, you guys have been great. Hit it up. If you can listen to this throughout the week, I'm not sure if we're on iTunes or whatever bullshit Android's on. I would imagine it's screaming into the street going, hey, you niggas have any podcasts? And someone throwing a fucking MP3 flash drive at you. I don't know what you poors do on Android, honestly. I had an Android for about a year, and I've never felt so bad. Yeah, we're on Spotify, the pregame radio network. Thank you, Black. So, yeah, so if you guys want to hear me there, if you want to go to Spotify, we're there. If you have an iPhone, which I hope, like all my listeners, be iPhone listeners. I feel like you're hearing the dulcet tones of my voice and you're getting the clear energy. You have to go through back doors like you're some sort of Russian hacker to hear me. Spotify works for everybody, both the riches like me who have iPhones and the poors like you guys who have Androids who are using your tin can headphones. Again, all jokes. See, our producer's the best. He really caters to my nonsense. Anywho, this song's gonna play from beginning to end. This is for you, Ernie. Talk to you later, guys.
I can't believe it myself. Suddenly I'm up on top of the world. It should have been somebody else. Believe it or not, I'm walking on air. I never thought I could feel so free. Flying away on a wing and a prayer. Who could it be? Believe it or not, it's just me. From out of the blue, breaking me out of the spell I was in, making all of my wishes come true. Believe it or not, I'm walking on air. I never thought I could feel so free. Flying away on a wing and a prayer. Who could it be? Look at me, falling for you.